for the Athletic Podcast Network. I'm Kate Scott. This is The Update. On today's show, we continue the conversation we started a few weeks ago on the NBA's Professional Pathway Program. Our conversation began when the top prospect in the high school class of 2020, Jalen Green of Napa's Prolific Prep, announced he was skipping a one-and-done year of college to become the first participant in that aforementioned pathway program. Since then, a lot has happened. So let's get into it with my colleague, fellow Cal grad, and now best-selling author, Ethan Strauss. It's Monday, May 11th. Well, Ethan, thank you so much for making time to discuss something that we actually started talking about a few weeks ago. We had Mark Spears on to discuss Napa's Jalen Green skipping college for this new pathway program. And since then, Isaiah Todd, one of the top forwards in the class who'd committed to Michigan, decommitted to join Green in that pathway program. And then Dacia Nix, the top-ranked point guard in their class who'd committed to UCLA, he decommitted to join the pathway program as well. So let's start there. As someone who covers the NBA, are you excited about this trend? Is this good for the NBA?
I think it's potentially good if it's handled correctly. It just seems like the dynamic between the NBA and the NCAA wasn't sustainable. It's potentially quite positive. You know, I don't want to get overly optimistic, you know, just because things can get screwed up. It's difficult. It's difficult to just create a farm system from scratch. But one of the issues right now for the NBA is that it gets more complicated every year. Every year it gets more complicated strategically. And yet the actual rules in college basketball are quite different from the NBA's rules. As things get trickier, as things get tougher, it becomes an advantage for prospects coming out of Europe, where the rules are more in line and more similar to the NBA's than it is potentially for kids coming out of the college system. So if that's going to be the case for a lot of other reasons as well, it makes sense to allow American prospects to get right into the NBA system, get paid, not deal with the rigmarole that James Wiseman dealt with, where he's banned and can't, you know, even really practice or play because the NCAA bans him from doing so as a potential number one pick. It just seems like it's necessary. It's necessary for potentially causing college basketball to make certain reforms, and it's necessary for the NBA just opening up an opportunity. If they're going to say you can't play until you're a certain age, then they owe it to these kids to give them an opportunity to make some money and to develop their careers before they join an NBA team.
So you kind of think the NBA had to do something like this because, as Mark and I discussed, Australia's NBL, their National Basketball League, lured a couple of the top prospects in last year's high school class away from both the NCAA and the G League. So the NBA kind of had to do something like this pathway program?
This might have been in the works for a while, but I do think that the Australian League, that was a nudge into get it together, get it out there, because suddenly you're seeing these prospects not make money for the NBA, but instead make money for the NBL. I mean, they drew a tremendous amount of interest. I was staying up late watching LaMelo's games, that's for sure. So I do think that they had to, otherwise other leagues would pay some of these kids and take them out of the NCAA system, potentially take them out of the NBA system, prop up those leagues at the NBA's expense. And this dynamic just doesn't work. We're used to the NCAA being the farm system for the NBA. I think it goes unquestioned. I got some pushback when I wrote about it, but I fundamentally don't see it as a copacetic, mutually beneficial relationship. I don't. It can be, but I don't. Not overall.
Okay, expand on that.
Well, not like NCAA and NFL, because that's set up in such a way where, you know, you've got your college games on Saturdays and you've got your pro games on Sundays. That makes sense, right? But the issue for the NBA is that college basketball is a competing business. Their games are on the NBA's game days all the time. There's constant overlap. The NBA will have Saturday showcase on ABC simultaneously with Kentucky playing on ESPN at the same time. And that's crazy to me when I hear, oh, it's a free farm system. It's a free farm system. Not really. Not if the NBA can't have games on during March Madness or tries not to have some of their better games on March Madness or doesn't have a game at all during the national championship, because that's a period of time that the NCAA dominates. My theory on it is that, look, a lot of life is about money. A lot of it is about business, but not all of it. I think that a lot of these owners have an attachment to their university, which we can all understand. And it's not their mentality of we're going to try to deplete the NCAA of talent, even if it makes sense for the NBA as a business. So I don't think that it's an arrangement that's working too well right now, and that could be abided unless you have some of this outside competition like you see in Australia forcing the issue.
Now, another interesting bit of news involving the NCAA and the NBA that's come out since we talked to Mark was the name, image, and likeness ruling, which is the NCAA finally agreeing to let student-athletes benefit within certain parameters from the fact that they may be a superstar. So it won't just be the school being able to sell their jerseys. Kids now will be able to make money along the way as well. And it's interesting because we've been talking about this for a long time, Ethan, but the timing, now we knew it was coming, but I just find it fascinating that it happens just a couple of weeks after all this G League news came out.
Yeah, it feels like they're feeling the heat. And really, I mean, if we want to be totally honest about the scene and the challenges ahead for the NCAA.
Yeah, let's do it.
That duffel bag is shrinking. Like, if you've seen the scheme on HBO, I mean, the scheme, I think, shows fairly conclusively that these major programs are paying players under the table. I mean, we've got Sean Miller on the phone organizing effectively a salary. I don't know why that hasn't blown up in the way that you think it would, but, you know, the NCAA is about to take a big old hit financially with what's on the horizon. So much of what college sports brings in is just the gate revenue from football. I mean, that's a tremendous amount, and that is very much threatened. So they've got to give these kids something, you know, if there's not going to be the resources to pay people under the table. Additionally, it's constraining. I mean, you have to at least let them market themselves and market their own image when there's all this outside competition happening. So it seems like it was a necessary maneuver.
What do your colleagues say? Is everybody who covers the NBA in agreement with you, liking this new G League pathway program, thinking that it's going to be better for preparing kids for the NBA versus them going to college for a few years?
I don't think that all of them are in agreement with me. To have some sympathy for the both of us, they might have rooted for college basketball teams that were more successful than the ones that the school that we went to.
We still love you, Golden Bears, but I hear you, Ethan. I hear you.
There's an aspect of, you know, oh, yeah. Okay, college basketball is not doing well talent-wise. Oh, well, I mean, that's not really going to affect things so much. Leon Poe ain't walking through that door.
NBA champion.
Yeah, so I don't know. I got some pushback. There were some scouts who texted me who don't agree with my general take on it, but I didn't really change my opinion on it. I think that it's complicated. It's confusing. I don't know if I'm necessarily completely correct. I do have one insight that I will hold to, which is that this is a competing business, and in most cases, you crush a competing business. This idea that it's not a competing business is a complete illusion. A complete illusion. This is a competing company that's trying to get eyeballs at the NBA's expense that the NBA is sustaining and helping to procure more talent than it otherwise would be able to get. Based on this idea of the NBA doesn't want to have high school kids. Well, I don't know. Kobe Bryant and Kevin Garnett and LeBron James worked out pretty well for the NBA. The hit rate on high school draft picks is actually way better than for college players when John Hollinger and others have gone through the numbers. It just seems like something that was bad that they needed to do something about. But in the end, I don't think that it was. And I don't think it necessarily even helped college basketball. The one and done thing is an awkward thing. You feel like these kids are joining these programs not because they want to join them, but because they have to be somewhere until they go to the NBA.
What did those scouts text you, the ones who disagreed with you?
Just that they didn't agree. They think the G League's a bit of a mess and that it's not going to go so great. I think that was the general tenor, that this thing isn't going to go so well and you're going to have some of the same issues where these kids aren't going to be totally committed to the G League team. And people like what they know. You know, if you're familiar with the college game, if you're familiar with the way things are done, you don't want it shaken up. When the NBA changed their rules on defense and got rid of illegal defense, which was a necessary reform that made things better, but Rudy Tomjanovich and Pat Riley doggedly fought against those reforms. And I think that's because they were masters of the way things were. Why would you want to change if you spent so much of your life mastering the way things were? So maybe that's not fair to the people who pushed back, that I'm attributing some of that to them just knowing the current system quite well. But that's how I would slander them since they're not here, so I can do it.
Any guess as to how this G League Pathway program and the NCAA's name, image, and likeness, any idea how this is going to play out the next few years? Any guesses?
Oh, God, I cannot even. With the pandemic currently, I mean, it's the whole snow globe is shaken up right now. It's so hard to know where this is headed. So some of the pushback that I got was this idea that college basketball is not going to be adversely impacted by top level talents going to the G League, potentially. I completely disagree. I think college basketball has a high floor where you're going to have that tradition, you're going to have interest no matter what, but not having the next Zion, not having the next Trae Young, that's going to hurt interest in your league. Stars still matter, even at the college level. That's one thing I would predict, and that's one thing I would say.
All right. Before we let you go, Ethan, congratulations on your book. It's called The Victory Machine, The Making and Unmaking of the Warriors Dynasty. It came out just last month, and it is doing really, really well. So for folks who don't know about it yet, Ethan, give us a plug. Tell us all about it.
It's in a way a last dance for the Warriors, which I wouldn't have thought about it in that way. I just thought about focusing on the last season of Kevin Durant, because the way things fall apart in the NBA is always some Greek tragedy stuff with egos and everything else. And it's almost like a celebrity divorce. And there's something fascinating to me about it. There's something fascinating to me about how they built the greatest team ever, and yet it didn't make them happy. And maybe that's not a great way to sell this to sports fans, but I think it would give them a lot to think about, just to see, why is this? What is this? Why is Michael Jordan and the Bulls, you know, when they get to winning three championships, not happy with it anymore? You would think they're on top of the world, and similar with the Warriors, where Kevin Durant theoretically on top of the world, but just did not want to be there anymore. And that story, in conjunction with just the systems and processes by which the Warriors achieved this, that's the book right there. And I'm excited about it. I'm happy that it's out. I'm happy with the response that it's getting. I was nervous because it wasn't one of those typical, not, I want to say typical, because there are some incredible stories people tell that are happy and inspirational, but it wasn't one of those, right? Which is typically what we're looking for from sports. And so I didn't know how it would do. So I'm pleasantly surprised.
Well, perfect timing, because as you mentioned, we are all just enthralled by The Last Dance that's going on right now on ESPN. So this is the book version of it. So on that note, where would you prefer that folks look to buy it, Ethan?
The public affairs website, my publisher, I've been told is the best way to do it. But if you want to buy it off Amazon, as people do, that's fine too. So long as... and my son agrees. So long as you leave a 5-star review on Amazon, I am totally happy and cool with people doing it that way. Or just keep your local bookshop afloat. I mean, any which way. I'm not picky. If you buy the book, if you leave a nice review, it's all good. I'm all very happy with it.
And your son is too. And he was so good during our interview, Ethan. I'm very impressed.
He was. Can you say bye, Asher? Can you say bye bye?
Bye.
Oh, Ethan, congratulations on the book and being a great dad. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Aren't all of our new colleagues the best? I think we can all relate to having someone or something make a surprise guest appearance on our calls these days, right? Oh, that was great. For those of you interested in checking out Ethan's new book, it is truly fantastic. We've linked to it in the description notes of today's podcast. Don't forget, you can now listen to us through any of your Google devices. Just tell your assistant, play the Update with Kate Scott podcast. And if you don't subscribe yet to the written arm of The Athletic, now's the time to sign up, because get this, we're currently offering a free 90-day trial subscription. So you get to read us for 3 months absolutely free before you've got to put any money down. Just visit theathletic.com/theupdate. That's theathletic.com/theupdate. Sign up for the free 90 days and enjoy. As always, if you're enjoying the podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating, just as we expect you to do with Ethan's book. For all of us here at The Update, thanks to Ethan and Asher for stopping by. Thanks to you, as always, for listening. I'm Kate Scott. Have a healthy and safe few days, everybody. We're going to be talking some Giants baseball with Andy Baggerly on Wednesday.